We are in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and I'm going to be looking at verses 5 and 6 this morning. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. And as you may know, we've been going through a series of messages over the last several weeks of Christ the I Am. And if you've been taking notes, we're on part 4 of that series in the Gospel of John. And Jesus tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, it says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you again. And God, as always, I thank you and praise you for your grace and your mercy upon us, and the allowing us to be in your house today, Lord, the ability to be able to come and to serve you and to worship you and to enter into your word, Lord. God, we ask that you would give us an understanding of it. I pray that your Holy Spirit fill us. And most certainly, Lord, I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you would allow me to be able to speak and to preach and to teach the words that you've prepared for us. God, we pray that you would continue to give us a better understanding of Christ and who he is through these messages, Lord. And as we celebrate the Christmas season, I ask God that you would bring these things to our remembrance, that it would bring a more of an appreciation, more of a reverence in our relationship with you. We thank you and we praise you for all things, and it's in Jesus Christ's name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So again, we're going through a series of messages, Christ the I Am, and as I said before, we're in part 4 of those messages. As the Christmas day or Christmas approaches, the goal of this series of messages is for us to have a better understanding of who Christ is by his own admission, by his own words. He tells us throughout Scripture who he is. He tells us what his purpose of coming to this earth is. And he helps us to know and to understand not only that he was a man, but that he was God in the flesh. He helps us to understand his humanity as well as his deity. And one of the things that we can focus on as we would move through the book of John, the Gospel of John, is these things. Often throughout Scripture, we see him in his humanity. We know that he rested as a man. We know that he became tired as a man. He worked as a man. He ate food as a man. He drank as a man. But all of these things were in his flesh. But he also had the mind of God. He told the disciples and he told the scribes and the Pharisees, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because myself and the Father are one. We know that Jesus is God. He was the God-man, so to speak. 100% God, 100% man. In this series of messages, we've discussed Christ making the following statements and the meanings behind them. We talked about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life in John chapter 6, verse 35. We spoke of how this meant that he is the bread that sustains us eternally with eternal life, and how it's a simile to that of bread on the earth sustaining us physically. We know that if we don't eat, we die. If we don't eat, if we don't drink, we're going to perish. And that's just common knowledge. If you don't believe it, go without eating for just a little while and your stomach will remind you, hey, I need something in here. It'll growl and grumble. So we see Jesus as the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world in John chapter 8, verse 12, meaning the light that reveals our sin and brings us out of spiritual darkness and leads us through the darkness of this world. We talked about him as light being the one that discovers our sin, meaning not that he found it, but that he uncovers it. He reveals it. And through the message of his word, he shows to us, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Often we pray that. Often we speak that when we say, God, you know, help those that are sinners to realize that they're sinners. Because all too often people throughout our entire world believe, you know, inherently I'm good. Inherently I'm a good person. And you know, although I've done bad things, I'm still a good person. Well, the Bible teaches opposite of that. The Bible tells us that although we've done good things, we're not good, we're bad. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that there's none good, not one. And so in and through this, we understand that Jesus reveals these things to us, just like shining a light in the darkness, the light disperses or chases away the darkness, revealing what is not able to be seen otherwise. Jesus does that for us. He brings us out of that spiritual darkness. He leads us through the darkness of this world as someone would walk in down a dark path with a flashlight. And I used that as an example. You know, if you're in the dark and you don't have a light and you're attempting to walk the path, you're going to stumble over the things in the path. You're not going to, you know, be able to navigate the curves and the bends and the twists in the path because you can't see those things. Jesus allows us to see those things. We also talked about him as he said, I am the door, in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. And this meaning he is the only avenue into the fold. As he was given an illustration or example of himself being the shepherd and the sheep coming into the fold, Jesus reminds us that I am the only way into the fold. I used the example of the actual corral or the actual place of where men would keep sheep. And the interesting thing about that is there was one way in and one way out. And often what the shepherd would do, he would lay down in the doorway of the corral in order to prevent the sheep from coming out and to prevent the enemy from coming in. And that's what Jesus does for us. The position he holds in the Godhead is that he is the avenue. He is the door by which we enter into the sheepfold, into the family of God, and eventually into the presence of God by which we can enter into eternal life with him. He also goes on in this same chapter to say, I am the good shepherd. We talked about that in John chapter 10, verse 11, and meaning as a shepherd, tends to, cares for, supplies, and protects the sheep. Our Savior Jesus Christ does the same for us. You know, the 23rd Psalm talks about that he leads us, you know, and that he makes us to lay down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. Our cup runneth over, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his provision, what it is that he has done for us. In his mercy, in his grace, he has made the decision to provide for us as a shepherd does the sheep. And we talked about these things in that scripture. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life in John chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. Meaning Christ is the means of both physical life and in that he created all things in the second person of the Godhead. And John chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that. And as Savior who was sent of the Father, he gives spiritual life by way of his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. In this, the Bible tells us that he is raised, he has ascended to the Father, and he sits at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us, meaning that he is our mouthpiece. He is the one who speaks on our behalf to the Father. And one day when we stand before him, he will be our cover. He will be our robe of righteousness. The Bible tells us that he's going to cover our sin, meaning when he paid our sin debt, he washed them away. So that when we stand before God, he's not going to see the things that I have done, But he's going to see what Jesus Christ did for me and that I have put my faith and trust in him. Outside of him, I have no hope. Just like we said this morning in Sunday school, outside of him, we have no peace. But in him and through him, we have peace that surpasses anything that anyone can imagine. And those are the things that he has done for us in his grace, in his mercy for us. Today we're in John chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, and we know the story. The scripture here tells us that Jesus is in the position that he's about to ascend into heaven. He's about to ascend to the Father, and he gives this information to them. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And then we pick up there in verse 5 because Thomas makes a good point. He says, "We don't know where you're going. We don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? How are we supposed to know how to get there? How are we supposed to know this?" We see this here when Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest." In other words, we have no idea where you're going. And how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going, and how can we know how to get there? We don't have an understanding of these things, is basically what Thomas is saying. And not only from a spiritual standpoint, but also from a physical standpoint. He says, "You're going to this place that you're describing, but we don't know where it's at. Lord, how are we going to get there to be with you? How are we going to know how to get there? We need instruction," is the idea. And this is the state of every man and woman who has ever been born. Every man or woman that has ever drawn breath, in and of ourselves, we do not know the way. We do not know how to get there. Amen. We cannot provide the path for ourselves. We don't know it. We don't understand it. It's only revealed to us and the truth discovered by us through the preaching of the gospel. Without the gospel message, we wouldn't have a clue. We wouldn't know the way. We wouldn't know the path. We wouldn't know that Jesus is the way. And the truth discovered by us through the preaching of the gospel reveals to us that it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul tells him, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." It is the gospel message. It is Jesus in the fact that he is the message. He is the one that has come. He is the one that gave himself. He is the one that provided that path. He provided that way for us to be reconciled with God. A lot of the world don't understand when they try to say that they are good. What they don't understand is that they're inerrantly and of the flesh born into a curse. They are born into an old sin nature. Man. They are in and of themselves evil. And because of this, they are separated from God. There are many, many people who believe that they have a relationship with God because they believe, or because that they have put it into their mind that there's a God and I know he's there. So because I know he exists, then I'm going to be taken into his kingdom. And the scripture don't teach that. The scripture doesn't tell us that. Nowhere in scripture are you going to find that it's simply because you have knowledge that God exists. It's more than that. It's simple. Don't get me wrong. It's simple in that when the Holy Spirit reveals to us that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus provides himself as the Savior, that we put our faith and trust in him, and that he saves us, he changes us, he makes us new, he sanctifies us through the course of our life, he gives to us eternal life freely. But it's complicated in that it's not about just believing that he existed, But it's that belief that prompts you to action. As I've talked about so many times before, the saying I believe doesn't mean anything to anyone else other than me. I can say that I believe, but if my actions don't reflect that, then something's wrong. If somebody, you know, if somebody is in a position to where they say, well, surely I believe, but there's nothing that reflects this belief in their life, then people are going to question that. You know, as I've said before, I can say that I love my wife, but if I was to show her no love, no affection, if I was to never give even speech, if I was never to talk to her, if I was never to have any sort of a relationship at all with her, would you believe that I loved her? Absolutely not. The world needs to see this in our lives. They need to see action on our part showing that we believe. As a matter of fact, James said that faith without works is dead, meaning that it's useless. It's not able to be taken advantage of. It's just as a dead man. A dead man can't get up and help you, can he? A dead man can't do anything for you. The flesh, the body, it just lies there. It don't move. It don't talk. It don't lift a hand to help. It doesn't do anything for you or anything that can help you in life. Only those that are alive can help you. Jesus tells Thomas here when he asks, when he says, you know, I don't know the way. We don't know where you're going, and how do we know how to get there? He makes it clear to him, Thomas, I am the way. I am the way. In other words, I have this all taken care of. I have this all prompted and planned for you. I have made the way for you. Christ is not merely the way because he goes before us as an example. There are a lot of people that believe he is the way because of the example that he made, and they say, well, if as long as I act like he did, then I'm okay. As long as I try and attempt to live by the rules and the commands of this book, then I'm okay. Well, the whole reason he came was to fulfill the law for our purpose, because he knew that we are not able to do it. We're not able to fulfill the law in its entirety. Jesus says, I am the way, meaning that not as just a prophet, not as just pointing out by his doctrine the way of salvation, but he's the way of salvation itself. Because of his obedience, because of his sacrifice, there is no other way. We've said that time and time again. There is no other way. He is the way appointed of the Father. He fits the criteria of the perfections of God. The perfections that we will never be able to achieve due to the old sin nature, Jesus was able to achieve these because he is God and he came in the flesh. He's what's needed to meet the condition of sinners. There's false prophets and false teachers and false preachers out there that have preached and stated, well, I could have done the same thing that Jesus did. I could have died on the cross on your behalf. That is not true. That is not true, not even in the least. There has been no one, not one person that has ever lived that has met the criteria of the sacrifice that was needed for the forgiveness of sins outside of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the only way. He's the way that was appointed of the Father. He fits the criteria. He's what's needed to meet the condition of sinners. He's the way to all of the blessings of grace. He's the right way into the church. No one comes into the church except by Christ, but by faith in him. He's the way to heaven. He entered into it himself by his own blood. He's opened the way to it through himself for his people. So in him and through him, we achieve the way. In him and through him, we are taken into the kingdom of God. When he says, Thomas, I am the way, he means, hey, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about how to get there. You don't have to worry about where it's at. All you have to do is put your trust in me. Do you remember being a child and your parents would say, hey, we're going somewhere. We're going to take a trip. It may be something as simple as going to the grocery store. But they told you, Get in the vehicle. We're going to go somewhere. And as a child, you may have been inquisitive. You may have been a why person. I'm a why person, y'all. I didn't ask my daddy why because he would show me why. And he would tell me, quick, you want me to show you why? No, sir. I don't. But yet again, I wanted to know, you know, where are we going? What are we doing? And they would say, don't worry about it. Just get in the car. And I just trust in me is the idea. You know, where we're going on a trip. Where are we going? What are we doing? How are we going to get there? Don't worry about all of that. You just get in the car. Jesus is basically saying the same thing to Thomas here. He's saying, Thomas, don't worry about the mode of transportation. I got that taken care of. You know, don't worry about what it's going to take for you because I've already taken care of that. At this point, he hadn't, but he was going to. He's making it known to them. Look, I'm going to take care of the mode of transportation. I'm going to take care of the path. I already know the path. I know how to get there. I know where we're going. I know what we're going to do. I know how we're going to get there, when we're going to get there, and I know why we're going there. So as a kid, you know, when we would ask our parents who, what, when, where, why, and how, you know, and eventually that's normally the response that you would get is, look, just sit down, put your seatbelt on, don't worry about it. We'll get there when we get there. I know where we're going. I know what we're going to be doing. You just wait. Oftentimes it was a surprise in a sense, wasn't it? When you would get wherever it was you were going. I mean, you had no idea where you were going, what it is that you were going to be doing. But when you get there and you see, oh man, mom and dad's planning this awesome trip, or they've planned that for us to come here and to do these things, and you didn't have to do anything. They did it all for you. Jesus has made a way for us. He is the way. He is the truth of it. There's nothing else for us to trust in. There's nothing else for us to go into. He has opened the way for his people. In John chapter 10, verse 9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, it says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. In other words, we have access through Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit unto the Father. Because of our faith and trust in him that he has provided for us. And continuing in verse 6, he says, I am the truth and the life. So he is not only true, but he is truth itself. He is the essence of truth. He is the originator. It's truth came of him. Without him, there is no truth. He was truly and really a man. He is truly and really God. As a priest, he is a faithful priest, as well as a merciful one, true and faithful to him that appointed him, which was God the Father. As a king, just and true are his ways. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords, according to what our scripture tells us. He is the sum and the substance of all truths of the gospel. He is the means by which they are produced. He's the truth and the prophecies of the Old Testament, and they have all been accomplished in him. You know, we talked about that a little bit also in Sunday school this morning, how that all things consist and continue to consist in a state of eternity because of him. We can have peace in knowing that what God has to offer never ends. Amen. It never ends. You know, I talked about the ending of my daddy's life this week here on this earth. And one of the things that I talked about is how that there is an ending that all of us are going to take part in. And that ending is because of sin. It wasn't orchestrated by God in the beginning for things to be that way. But because of sin and because of his foreknowledge of knowing that things were going to go down that path, he created in his son, Jesus, a way. He created a way in and through him for forgiveness. He created a way in and through him for reconciliation to the Father, so that we are no longer separated in sin, but we are brought together in him. The one thing that I have assurance and hope and peace in is that I'm going to see my daddy again, not because of the life that he lived here on this earth, but because of what Jesus did and his faith and trust in him. It's eternal. It's never ending. My daddy's flesh is no longer with me because of sin, but his eternal life will forever be with me in heaven because of Jesus. Because he says, I am the way. And my daddy believed that. And he put his faith and trust in that. And thank God he did. Because without that, I may not be standing here today. So continuing in the scripture, Jesus worded this to say what he did because of a saying that was given by the Jews that said, Moses and his law are the truth. But this is not true. See, Jesus knew the thoughts of the Jews. He knew the thoughts of the scribes and the Pharisees. And they said, Moses and the way are the truth, meaning that there's nothing outside of that. And Jesus said, oh no, but you're wrong. See, Moses spoke of me. He preached about me. He prepared the way. He was just one of many that prepared the way for our Messiah. It says, and the life, meaning Christ is the author and giver of life, natural, spiritual, eternal. Again, he is the way of life, or the living way. He is the living way, meaning that it's not a dead end. It's not a hopeless way. It's not a guesswork. It's not as if we stand in wonder, have I done enough? Have I lived a good enough life? Have I performed enough works? We don't live in such a way because Jesus did. Jesus performed every work that was necessary. He fulfilled every law that was necessary. He made a way for us. And he says in and of himself, I am that way. You can trust in me. You don't have to break out a map because I have that covered. You don't have to worry or wonder about where you're going because I have taken care of that for you. He tells them prior to this scripture, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, I've prepared a way for you, and if I've prepared a way, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. In other words, I got it taken care of. John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Persian version reads in the plural, it says lives. Meaning there is life in the word with respect to him. There was a divine life which he possessed. The same life of the Father and of the Spirit. And it's in him, and also there was life in Christ. With respect to others, the beginning of a natural life is in him. He creates life, does he not? We are born physically because of our God. He has made the way. He is the efficient cause of life. He is the preserver of it, as we see in verse 3. And of the verses that we just read. But the life referred to in verse 4 is the light of men, it says. And what does John chapter 8 verse 12 say? I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. So continuing on in verse 6, he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Knowing all these things about Christ, all of the attributes that we've listed, all of the things that we've talked about, and many, many more that we ain't even began to discuss, we would never have enough time to discuss it all. We couldn't express the characteristics of God if we wanted to, but why would anyone assume that there could be another way? Why would anyone assume that there's something outside of Jesus that can get us to heaven? Why would we ever assume that we can do it on our own? There could be no other way because He is the way. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Amen. Jesus' emphasis is on Himself being the avenue, being the door, being the path, being the lighthouse, being the entry, being the gate. You cannot come to God unless you come by way of Christ. And He says this when He says, "But by me." But by me. Spoken in His deity. Not spoken through His humanity. Spoken in His deity. Jesus speaks as the second person of the Godhead that He makes this happen. He gives to us life. We talked about it a couple of weeks back, how that it was His lips that said, "Let there be." It was His lips that spoke everything into existence. As a matter of fact, John chapter 1, verse 3, we just talked about it earlier. He is the reason everything exists. Everything consists of Him. Everything was created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Father and the first person of the Godhead draws us through the work of the Holy Spirit, revealing Himself to us through His Word, the gospel message, showing to us His salvation through Christ and everything He did for us here on this earth. John chapter 6, verse 44, He says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." God draws us to Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit, and He reconciles us to God. Christ reconciles us to God through the sacrifice that He made on the cross. And He then presents us spotless. The Bible says, as a spotless lamb before God, He presents us, and we are made the righteousness of God in Him. He was made to be sin for us and knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, in Jesus. Without Christ, we are helpless and we are hopeless. But with Him, we know the way. We understand that He is the way. We understand that He is the truth and that He is life given to us. My question to you today is, do you know the way? Are you as Thomas was? "God, I don't know how to get there. I don't know where it's at, and I don't know how to get there." Well, Jesus answers it clear as day, doesn't He? "I am the way." Let's all stand at this time for invitation.